Ten Commandments hold the secret to saving America from self-destruction. The Ten Commandments is God's penicillin shot for paganism. Paganism is running loose in America. It's the worship of false gods. Any god other than the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is a false god. And that means America has plenty of them. The Ten Commandments are penicillin shot against socialism. Socialism presents the government as God. Socialism always produces a dictatorship. For you young people in America's colleges and universities who have heard that socialism is the glorious future of the world, please understand that Hitler was a socialist and killed 50 million people. That Stalin was a socialist and killed 100 million people, producing socialism. Socialists are in our government, and they're there trying to destroy democracy. We need to vote those people out of office. Another god for America's materialism. It's the worship of money. America's families are being destroyed by fathers who love money more than their wives and children. Fathers of America, let me say this to you clearly. Your greatest treasure is your family. A major god in America is pantheism. Pantheism is that God is nature, and nature is God. Now, God created nature, but he is not nature. If you believe that, the next time you get sick, go out and hug a ponderosa pine and see what happens. Nothing. God is nature. You know it is climate control in this nation. Listen, climate control is the New World Order crowd taxing America and Europe into bankruptcy. Joe Biden calls it the liberal world order. It's actually the New World Order. We will never be able to control the climate. God Almighty does that. These Ten Commandments are the moral, spiritual compass America needs, but much of America, if not most of America, reject because they have been thrown out of our colleges and our school campuses and in front of most major buildings in America. This text, Remember the Sabbath Day, is a call for mankind to remember. It is God's confession that we're prone to forget his love. We've had it so good so long, we forgot his mercy. We forget his goodness very quickly. How many of you have a difficulty in remembering? Let me see your hand. We forget the difference between right and wrong. A teenager was complaining about his mother, said, "My mother is such an alarmist. One cough and she thinks I have TB. One headache and she thinks I have a brain tumor. I forget to tell the truth one time and she thinks I'm destined for the White House." America has certainly forgotten God. Thousands of churches closed their doors during COVID-19, and they did not reopen. Mass shootings have become a common occurrence. Let me say to you, guns are not the problem. Sick and demonic people with guns, that's the problem. May I make a suggestion? Why not crush teachers' unions by closing the Department of Education in Washington and giving the education back to the individual states? Why can't we have parents' choice concerning our children's education? We as parents get to say where our children should go to school, and our tax dollars would follow that child and pay for that education. In the Bible, people are God's top priority. He created people. He provides for people. He heals people. People with broken hearts, with shattered dreams. Whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever you have done, God loves you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent his Son to Calvary as my redemption and your redemption. God has created heaven and earth. But I've got this word for you. You're not going to heaven if you do not keep the Ten Commandments. It's just that simple. Look at humanity's record of how quickly we forget the goodness of God. God delivered the children of Israel from Egypt's bondage with 10 plagues that crushed Egypt and from which Egypt has never recovered. God turned the Nile River into blood. Not only the Nile River, but every bathtub was full of blood. Every bottle of drinking water was blood. God demonstrated his power. You would think the children of Israel would remember the goodness of God for 40 years and never forget it. But they forgot God in 50 days. 50 days. It was 50 days from the crossing of the Red Sea until they got to Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai was the first day of Pentecost. That's another sermon for another day. Look again, on top of Mount Sinai, Moses is face to face with God. The ground is trembling. The sky is as black as ink, except the brilliant lightning that streaks across the heavens like tongues of fire. The top of the mountain begins to glow in this massive red flame as God himself descends to earth and begins to speak with Moses. The sounds of angels blowing trumpets grows louder and louder, and then God begins to give the Ten Commandments. Now think, if you were there and you saw this, the ground is trembling, the mountain is ablaze with God's glory, you would think, you would say, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." You would think that, but that's not what they did. They instantly started making a golden calf to worship. So in this audience today, hello America, it's time to say to God Almighty, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Our God is an awesome God. Give the Lord praise, glory, and honor for who he is. What did the children of Israel do? They forgot. That's why God says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. How quickly we forget. And we're no different. We're no different. A member of your family gets sick. God supernaturally heals them. And the next Sunday you demonstrate your appreciation by going somewhere else other than to his house. If you don't go to God's house on Sunday, why do you think he's going to take you to his house when he comes? We lose our jobs, our business falls apart. We cry out to God to provide for our needs, and he does, and suddenly good things start to happen. But on Sunday, you show your appreciation for God's goodness by going somewhere else on God's day. We come to church with our lives twisted by sin and the power of Satan, and God's loving hand creates gladness out of a living hell. Then on Sunday, you show your appreciation by going elsewhere. You call it family time. Let me tell you something. Worshiping God Almighty on the Lord's day in his house is family time. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Hebrews 10:25, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, and so much the more as you see the day of Christ approaching. If they were intense about Christ coming 2,000 years ago, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you now that the nations of the world are in perfect position to fulfill every prophetic verse about the beginning of the Third World War that will lead to the coming of the Antichrist. It could happen in a matter of weeks. We are looking at the coming of Jesus Christ immediately. It is imminent. Get ready. Observe the Sabbath day. Observe means to do more than remember. Observe means you physically go to God's house to worship him, to praise him, to clap your hands, O you people, and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. This is his day. This is his house. We are his created. He is our provider. He is our defender. He is our high tower. He is our Father which is in heaven, and he's worthy of our highest praise. Give him praise in the house. What you do Monday through Saturday is for the physical man. What you do on Sunday, which I call the Lord's Day, is for the spiritual man. Many of you watching television right now cannot find a church in your area that preaches the Word of God. Join our church family by sitting in front of that television with your family, with the Bible, receiving the Word of God. For where two or three of you are gathered together, God is in that place. We are united by the power of the Holy Spirit. As Christians, we must show compassion and provide a way for these young women to choose life. Will you help us? Love is not what you say, love is what you do. Take action today.
In appreciation of your support, we will send you a Baby Feet keychain and a set of thank you cards designed by the residents of Sanctuary of Hope. For your special gift of $150 or more, we'll include the Power of Prophetic Blessing book signed by Pastor John Hagee and a Jeremiah 29:11 blanket and candle.
Today I'm asking for your help. Make the decision to choose life over death. Your courageous support saves two lives, the life of an unborn child and the life of a young woman.
Send your gift today. Call the number on your screen or visit jhm.org/legacy.
Listen to David describe the joy of being in God's house, Psalms 84. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs for you. My soul, listen to this word, my soul faints for the house of God. Think about that. My soul faints for the house of God. David writes, blessed are those who dwell in your house, and they go from strength to strength. Hear that phrase? And they go from strength to strength. That means God is the giver of your strength, and it is renewed in the house of the Lord. You are right now being physically energized by the presence of God. That's why King David said, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. The Bible says, no good thing will God withhold. No good thing, that's prosperity. No good thing will God withhold from those that walk uprightly. And all of that happens in the house of God. David was a man after God's own heart. His health, his prosperity, his success began in God's house. When two or three of us come together in his name, he is there. Because we are the army of the living God. Demons were trembling in fear at the mention of the name of Jesus. Satan trembles in fear when the righteous worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. The army of God is coming together in the United States. We are in unity. Put on the whole armor of God. Let us fight the good fight. The victory is ours. We are more than conquerors. Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. Give him praise in the house of God. Then you hear some half-wit say, well, preacher, Sunday is my only day off. Let me help you get that straight, Bubba. Sunday is not your day. It's God's day all day. You hear a lot of excuses about why I don't go to church on Sunday. So I think I'm going to have a no-excuse Sunday. Cots will be placed in the foyer. For those of you who say Sunday is my only day to sleep in. Blankets will be furnished for those of you who go to the church and it's too cold. And fans for those who think the church is too hot. And that happens every Sunday of the world. We will have hearing aids for those who say the preacher preaches too softly. And cotton in the ears for those who think the preacher preaches too loud. One man said to me, "Well, I don't go to church because there are too many hypocrites there." I said, "Come on, partner, we've got room for one more." One section will be dedicated to Christmas poinsettias and Easter lilies. For those of you who have never seen the church any other way, you're Christmas and Easter Christians. We see you twice a year. Here comes Santa Claus and Jesus rose from the dead. What are we to remember about the Sabbath? Remember that the Sabbath is God's gift to you. It's not for God's benefit, it's yours. The word Sabbath means to rest, to stop. Mark 2:27, Jesus said, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." The Sabbath did not begin with the Ten Commandments. It began at creation. God Almighty worked 6 days. That's a hint for you couch potatoes who are sitting at home waiting for the government to send you a check. You deserve nothing until you work for it. God worked 6 days and he created and he rested on the seventh. God did not rest because he was tired, because the prophet Isaiah said that God never does get tired. He never gets weary. He rested as an example to all of humanity that this is a divine pattern. He engineered the human body. He engineered your brain. And he has said, this machinery that I have created, if it has one day of rest in every seven, will reach its peak performance. That's what this is saying. The Sabbath gives supernatural strength to the body and the mind. Psalm 62:11 says, "Once God has spoken, twice I have heard this." Quote, listen to David, "that strength belongs to the Lord." Say that with me. Strength belongs to the Lord. You can get more physical, emotional, spiritual strength here than any other place on the planet. It's a medical fact that you can sleep and not rest. You can sleep and not rest. Rest and strength come from God. Nowhere else. Isaiah 40:31 says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount on wings as eagles, and they shall run and not grow weary." When you can run and not grow weary, that has to be supernatural strength. You don't suffer burnout, brown out, or give out. You have enough to get the job done. Those who turn aside and worship the Lord are supernaturally charged with supernatural power that gives you the ability to climb the impossible mountain, to fight and to defeat the invincible foe, to sing in the valley of the shadow of death, to walk through the fire without being burned. The strength that God gives you the ability to run and not grow weary. That's why David said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord." This is the best health spa in the world. We talk about our need for recreation. We get a jogging suit. We get shoes. Or we join the health club. And we run a mile. And we go home and fall on the couch and die. We're not re-energized at all. Take another look at the word recreation. It means recreation. Doing things that build up the whole person. That makes God's day a day of recreation. It's the day when the lost walk the aisles and become new creatures in Christ Jesus. What does it profit a man if he gains the world and loses his soul? The Sabbath day is when the shackles of misery and habit are broken and slaves to sin and Satan are set free. For whom the Son sets free is free indeed. This is the day when marriages are restored, when sick bodies are healed, when dreams rise from the ashes of despair to be reborn in the soul of humanity. Angels gather, demons scatter, Satan flees. It is the Lord's day, and there's no day and no day and no day that can match this day. Give the Lord praise in the house. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Who gives you rest? God. Where do you get your strength? God. The Bible fact is no one can continually break the Sabbath and keep the physical, mental health God intends for you to have. During the French Revolution, when atheism was at its peak, the French decided to abolish the Lord's Day. So they said, we're going to choose to have one day off in 10. And they chose 1 in 10 to increase production. The result? Production dropped off. Goals were not met. The atheists changed it back to 1 day in 7. The point, if atheists can figure that out, why can't Christians? You want to reach your peak efficiency? Work 6 days, and that's going to mean some of you are going to have to speed up. Work 6 days, and on the 7th day, rest in the presence of God. Christians in America get upset when they read the communists have closed the churches. Oh, woe is me! What is the world coming to? Well, what's the difference between a Christian who doesn't go to church and a communist who won't go? The church is still empty in both countries. The same result happens. Remember, it is the Lord's Day. In the Old Testament, the Sabbath was from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday. In the New Testament, it's the Lord's Day. Why? Listen, Jesus rose triumphantly from the dead on the 1st day of the week. 5 times Jesus appeared after the resurrection. Each time, it was the 1st day of the week. The Lord's Supper was celebrated on the 1st day of the week. The Holy Spirit descended in the upper room on the 1st day of the week. Paul said to bring the tithe and the offering to the house of God on the 1st day of the week. John on the Isle of Patmos said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. For those of you who try to make a doctrine out of which day you should worship, listen to St. Paul in Colossians 2:16. Paul said, let no man judge you in meat or drink or in respect of a holy day or of the Sabbath. It's not what day you worship. It must be one specific day. Listen to that closely. I like the title, the Lord's Day, more than Sunday, because every day of our week was named by the Roman Empire after a false god. Sunday was named after the sun god. Monday was named after the moon god. Every day was after a pagan idol. This is the Lord's Day. It's the Lord's Day all day. He is the Lord of all. Or he's not Lord at all. He is your Father which is in heaven. He has blessed you. He has prospered you. He has saved you. He has sent his angels to protect you. He goes before you and behind you. He will give you the desires of your heart. All you have to do is sit in his presence to be strengthened and to be energized and for your vision in life to be renewed. You must honor him. It's time to worship him. It's time to serve him. It's time to obey him. Can I hear an amen? Give the Lord a shout of praise in the house of God. Can we stand to our feet? How many of you in this audience would say, Pastor, I'm physically weary. I'm emotionally drained. I'm burned out. I need supernatural strength from God to go on. If that describes you, would you slip your hand up right where you are? God bless you. Heavenly Father, look from the balconies of heaven upon the body of Christ. Renew your peace. Release supernatural strength. Give to them the desires of their heart, that they may know and serve you all the days of their life.
The Bible says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His loving kindness is everlasting." We thank the Lord daily for you. Thank you for your faithfulness and your generosity to this ministry.
Pastor Hagee has a special blessing for you and your family. Receive it at the end of today's program.
Becoming a legacy partner with Hagee Ministries allows you to make a difference in the lives of millions of people all over the world. Technology is allowing us to connect with so many people through the use of online platforms and social media. You can now watch live services and on-demand content from Hagee Ministries at jhm.org. Become a part of a lasting legacy. Call the number on the screen or go to jhm.org/partner.
See the Bible come to life by standing in the very places where the stories of the Holy Scriptures unfolded. Join Pastors John and Matt Hagee on this extraordinary tour of the Holy Land. Visit historical sites such as the Mount of Beatitudes, where Jesus delivered the Sermon on the Mount, float upon the waters of the Dead Sea, and pray at the Western Wall. Join us November 6th through the 16th, 2023. For more information, call the number on screen or go to jhm.org.
And now, your blessing with Pastor John Hagee.
And now may the Lord bless you and may the Lord keep you. And may the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you, giving you His peace. May you be renewed with the love of God for your family, for the members of your church, and for the people in your city. Be vigilant and pray daily for America. As you do so, may you experience an explosion of God's love that will bring our families back together again, back to the Bible, back to the God of our forefathers, back to where morality and righteous living are honored and respected. God, send righteous men and women to govern our country. We need godly voices representing us. May you see God's shower of blessings like rain, that we might once again be under our God. In Jesus' name, amen.